Makes a difference. Okay, well, we viewed a. Oh, I know I forgot one thing to show you the screen. Oh, too many things to pull up till you get things started. I'm gonna find where the screen is to turn the projector on. So while we wait for the projector to warm up, are there any questions? Questions. Well, my question is, what type of clouds are out there today? Is it cumulus or stratus?
Stratus.
Yes.
I want to get cumulus clouds in the winter, but here.
Okay. And we have someone online. Okay, so we're sharing the screen. Let me try this again. Got the sharing working. I got the recording working at least on here. I think. Yeah, okay. We'll go back to share that. And then I will Hi, Dad. And we will talk about precipitation. So, what about the snow out there? So cold. Yes, question.
When I live here, I think it's still like one of the questions still didn't have the right answer. It was like higher and higher.
Oh, it's the second one. It's the B one. I fixed it, but not till like Sunday.
Okay.
So that is the supposed to be higher, lower, and then both. So
I just put an answer, but on another time. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll have to go back and I will change the grading so that both of the answers are right on that. So I'll try to remember to do that. So there's a way. Fred Reamer showed me how to do that. He shows me all the blackboard tricks. Okay. So we were talking precipitation processes on Thursday. And I didn't calculate this. Still gotta figure out how to do that. We figured out that I gotta look at that. Oh shit. Got to do everything about except for doing that. I think it's 4.1 3 days, right? So, okay, I'll try to remember to do that again. I fixed it, but not fixed that. So, I fixed this in terms of the radiuses for different fall velocities. So the concept is to remember that the small droplets in the clouds fall very slowly. And that's why they don't really create rain that falls to the ground. Raindrops get big enough to fall, not the cloud droplets. So millimeter-sized particles. Ice crystals have a huge range of terminal velocities, but they can fall a meter per second. So remember, look at the range here. A meter per second is here. So if you go to the ice crystals, a lot of them have meter per second type of fall speed. At least when the diameters get up to a millimeter. And then we got what warm and cold rain processes. We talked a lot about the cold rain process. And we went through all the rising air parcels and different parts of the cloud where we looked at these. So, and we, the most important is the seedable clouds. So that's kind of in the middle of the storm. Okay, so you want to target these super cool -5, -10 degrees clouds, 18,000 feet, and you want to seed in that range, get your material in there. Typically, a isonic URI like silver iodine. So we'll go through and once you form some ice crystals, you get some ice growth. You can get some Ryman when they fall into super cool droplets. And we finally get the rain at the bottom of the clouds. Okay, so kind of complicated process to form the ice and then form the rain that falls out of the clouds. So I got a slide here, a little bit about orographic precipitation and how this relates. A lot of times this is in the mountains, like in Colorado, Wyoming. You can have the air that comes from the Pacific go and hit the mountain range, and that air is forced up, and you get the same type of process. You get some supercool clouds to form, and then you can also have ice forming. So it's kind of the same type of process, but with the updraft formed or caused by the mountain instead of a thermal rising. And so that's the same type of thing, is you want to target the super cool clouds. And sometimes you can do this with ground generators that will get up from the and put material up into the clouds on the lee side or upwind side of the mountains. So that's another cold rain process, right? Is we're gonna form the ice crystals in there. So question for orographic precipitation, is it warm or cold rain process? What's the answer? Cold rain process that involves ice. Okay, there's another process that happens where we can form precipitation without forming ice. And we call this warm rain. So if you remember, we talked about it before, the condensation of growth depends on the size. It slows down as you get bigger. Okay. So when the droplets, if you go in time here with my little time axis here, it's initially very fast because the droplet is cold. Right? But as the droplet gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it slows down. And that's what I was showing at the beginning. If it's, you know, it takes a long time for you to get big droplets, particularly these millimeter sized particles that you would need to fall. So it produces too small of droplets to precipitate. Or produces droplets too small to precipitate because they don't fall enough. So that's just the condensational process. So something else is needed. Okay, some other mechanism or what we call process is needed. And we have this term called quiescent and coalescence growth. Okay. So it's a kind of a two-step process. In the first step, there's a quiescent. So if you think about these droplets, they don't fall very fast, but they do move up and down. Okay, and they do have different velocities. So if you have a little bit bigger droplet, it will fall a little bit faster. Okay, so we have This would a big drop would here. Why do we think we put a smiley face on it? He's big and fast and happy, right? So drop with a big and can fall fast and they're happy. Well, one reason they're happy is because we got the velocity arrow here. Right here. And it's got a faster fall velocity than this other one. So what happens if you got two cars driving down the road and one's driving really fast? What are we gonna have if single lane mode and they caught a collision, right? One comes up and collides with the other one. So a collision will occur between the large droplet and the small one. So large droplets went into, collide with small droplets. So there's two things that can happen with this collision. They can stick. So that's the big fancy term called coalesce, wet, stick together, or they can bounce off and not stick. So the stickiness is what we refer to as coalescence process. They have coalesce together. So let me see. I think we got some YouTube videos here. Oops. Let me see if I can find my slide here. And see if I can open up. Let's see here if I can make my if I can find not working to automatically put that in there. And now, what do I skip? The ads. Skip ad there. Let's make it. I said skip ad, didn't I? Skip ad. No, I don't want to do that. So, this is a video of a droplet. Slow motion video showing fine details of water droplet behavior at terminal velocity. So remember what terminal velocity is? So when the forces of balance is typically how they're going to be at all the times in the cloud. Okay. And then there's light shining on in the, sometimes you see the bright areas of this, the refraction of the light to where the camera is. And this is a slow thing. Maybe we should turn off some of the lights in the back. Maybe that'd be better to see. Yeah, thank you. There we go. So, there's a collision, but you see how it didn't really coalesce? Didn't get the whole droplet there. And you see how the droplets are not really spherical. These are whatever bigger, they're kind of elongated as they fall. and they wobble. And this is very slowed down, so we can see this and zoom in right on the droplet. Okay. And they got some breakup, I guess. They showed the droplets when they get really big too, they can just break up because they get so large. Okay, let me try to pull off. Let me see if I can get another address here. And now I'm gonna skip the ads. Well, let me skip. Skip the ad. So this is droplet coalescence and breakup. And this is a 3 to 6 millimeter drop. So see how it breaks up there into all kinds of different ones. This is the kind of coalescence process. So the two droplets hit and they form a bigger droplet. Here's another one. So if they fall, and they, yeah, I like this one. There's two that are pretty similar in size. See, they wobble all together. And this one's not quite so close when they collide. And here's a whole bunch of small droplets. It's almost bombarded by the droplets here. Lots and lots of droplets. Okay, so maybe I'll pause that one there for now. We'll go on and I'll save that for a break. We can watch that during our break after talking a little bit more about the warm rain process here. Okay, so that was the last one is kind of the illustration here with one big drop with a bunch of small ones collided. With it. I gotta go back and hide the. So, warm rain process. Large droplets are called precipitation embryos. Where do these large droplets come from? So you basically saw in the video there's some small ones and some big ones, right? So the idea is we need a few of these big particles, like one in a million has to be a big particle. And then they collect all these sort of small particles. Okay. So where can these come from? So very large, sometimes called giant cloud condensation nuclei. Hygroscopic cloud condensation nuclei, which grow a little bit bigger than normal. You're gonna have some random collisions of the small droplets. And then if you can get some large droplets, you can get some shattering, breakage of these large droplets. So, where do we find favorable CCN? And what conditions would be favorable for warming process? So very large, hydroscopic, crowd condensation nuclei, where would you find them?
Ocean.
Near the ocean, sea salt would be one. So near the ocean, you can get a lot of these giant CCN that are hydroscopic, and you can have this warm rain process occur. So ocean or near the ocean, you can have this occur. So got my word of no ice symbol on here, so it does not require ice. Does require the presence of some large droplets that can fall through and correct the small ones. So these large droplets, they fall and correct with and then coalesce with the smaller droplets. Make them grow larger as they fall. So we'll talk about the two things. There's collisions and there's coalescence. And we talk about the efficiency of a collision. So if we want to understand this in terms of scientifically, we should be able to model it. So we want to understand how efficient are the collisions, which is defined as the number of droplets swept out per volume that actually collide with the fallen droplet, divided by the total number of droplets in the swept out volume. Collision efficiency of one would imply that all droplets in the volume were collided with the fallen droplets. So that's what we have illustrated here, is that if, so here's your big droplet, and these are the small water droplets here. Okay, so if these four droplets that are within this swept out volume, if they collide with the droplet, that would be a collision efficiency of one. So these droplets could move to the side and around the droplet because of the airflow, right? Because these small droplets, they don't have a lot of momentum. They can move with the airstream and move around the droplets. So they may not even collide with a larger droplet. So conversely, or similarly to correction efficiency, is coalescence efficiency. Okay, so that's defined as a fraction of droplets that collide with the fallen droplets that actually merge. So if they collide, do they actually merge into a new larger droplet? So collision efficiency of one implies that all droplets that strike the fallen droplet merge with the fallen droplet. So everything that you have a collision, they actually all will coalesce it. And I have some pictures of what that would be. You have two orange and blue, or yellow and blue, and you find you get a green one after the coalescence will come. So, because we have to understand this process, we want to know what the product is of cohesion efficiency and coarescence. And that's the correction efficiency. So how well is that large droplet at correcting, which is defined as a product of cohesion and coarescence. So it's both of these processes together to get a correction efficiency. Okay. So that's the last slide, but I ask you a question now on, we've talked about seeding with silver iodide because there's not a lot of ice nuclei in the atmosphere. So what else could we put in if we want to get this warm rain process happening?
Okay. The natural pulse of the atmosphere. Or something big enough to approximate maybe a raindrop that's got a really good collection efficiency.
Yeah, so you could just go out and see with like a spray. The problem with that is how much mass of water do you need to bring up?
A lot.
A lot. So they do have these big tankers that they use in artificial ice experiments. You know, so there's a place near Duluth that they do this a lot. They fill up the tanker and they have these spray things and the airplane flies behind it. And you get, and you go up high enough to generate some super cool drops. But you only have so much. It's heavy and expensive. So if we go back to the aerosols or the particles that are small and light, what type of particles would we want to put out there? So some salt or hygroscopic particles. So sodium chloride or potassium chloride. So some salt particles. But what do we want these salt particles to be like? Large. So as a preview, there's these hygroscopic furs that burn. The idea is that they make large salt particles. So that's one method. It's nice and efficient because you got a burning process. And they actually tune this to try to make bigger particles. And another method is just to take a lot of salt, get it to the right size, and just dispense it out of the airplane. So what do you think one of the issues is working with a lot of large salt particles in an airplane? Corrosive. Yeah, it's corrosive, so it's not very friendly to your equipment. Okay, and then you want these to be like small particles. So have you ever, like your sugar at home, right? You put in a storage bin, but then does it always nicely pour afterwards? It clumps up. Why does it clump up?
Moisture in
there. Yeah, you get moisture in there. So the salt does the same thing. It really clumps together. So it's really hard to keep this dry. So you need to be able to do that. So it would have been engineering on that, but it's not impossible, but it's kind of difficult to get that.
Is it possible to be like more environmental impacts from like salt flash or
something? Yeah, so you would have environmental impacts if you ask me about that as opposed to silver iodide. So yes, in terms of particularly what you make for it, because that's one of the things they want to know for like the hygroscopic flares are not pure potassium chloride, for example. So there could be minor compounds in that. It could have some deleterious effects. The other thing is, that's why you might want to have something that's like pure salt crystal, because if it's something that's similar to what would be in the ocean, you would argue it wouldn't be that detrimental to the environment over and above what you would have near the ocean. So it depends what it is you're releasing, if it's just what it is. The other thing is, if it's water soluble, it would be better, which by definition is size is copper. So, but you know, you can have a complicated process with the burning to produce something in some trace metals. So there are some concerns there. So that's another reason that you might want to argue for a pure large salt particle that you don't make from burning. Okay. So that's the end. Any other questions? Okay, I know I haven't been doing this too much, but why don't we take over the break? I have another lecture here on crowd dynamics that shouldn't take too long to go through, but why don't I start over with, I want to get a drink myself, but why don't we take a 5-minute break, or you can just sit here for 5 minutes and watch the awesome video of this, huh? So I'm gonna go get a drink of water. I'll be right back.
I don't know.
So,
I didn't bring that, huh? Is it gonna have the
no
or no?
Yeah,
we just talked about the DH 108 swallow. A prototype where they tried to break the speed of sound, and both times it disintegrated. Well, the first time it disintegrated, but the second time the guy managed to survive.
All this is program.
Well, ice crystals. Oh, we got none of you. So now let's talk about crowd dynamics. Nine of 10 slides on this. So crowd dynamics has to do with the movement of the parcels and of the crowds. Dynamics is movement, obviously. So as it, we talked about a little bit before, thermals rise from the crowds. When you got sinking air motion on outside of crowds is a basic crowd dynamic. So, therefore, get on the screen. So, and the right side. So why would air rise? My synoptic lifting spelled wrong, but synoptic means rod scale. So low pressure systems can generate synoptic scale lifting, kind of like what's happening today. You can have mesoscale lifting. And thermals is what we talk about, just heated air parcels. And fronts are kind of what are depicted here, where you got a cold air mass down here with warm air that rises up over the cold air mass. And a good another source is in the orographic. Winter time systems is terrain. So even with a mountain or something. Does anybody know where the highest point in North Dakota is? Yeah, I think that is that the Turtle Mountain. It's up kind of right next to the border with Canada.
Yeah.
Do you know where the highest precipitation is in the summertime?
Right there.
Yeah. So You can see this. Even water features in counties and something can have an effect on these. So these small scale features can create the lift. So you don't need a big mountain range like the Rocky Mountains. But with the small mountains, it's less. So there's another concept that air motions are governed by atmospheric stability, unstable, stable, and neutral. So stable has limited vertical motion. Unstable, you can have rapid vertical motion. And neutral, where it's kind of just stays at the same level. Stability resists any vertical motion. So, you know, you can have unstable air that rises quite rapidly. So we want to know if the atmosphere is stable or unstable. So, and you can think about this in terms of the as a ball being on the top of the hill. It's unstable. It will move. It will rise vertically. So latent heat is energy, heat, temperature change that is from the condensation and freezing of droplets. And because you can have this heat release, the air warms slightly. It goes into the air molecules. And the warming produces some buoyancy, which causes the air to rise. So that's where we have the picture of a hot air balloon. What's inside of that is air that's a little bit heavier, so it rises. Latent heat. And then we got the concepts of entrainment and detrainment. When in the crowd, the air around the crowd, because of all the turbulence, all the mixing that occurs, the air is going through the environment, it can mix, and you have to talk about this entrainment, detrainment. So entrainment is outside air entering the crowd, and detrainment is air, quality air leaving the crowd. And then you got to define what is exactly the crowd, but that's where you have your water, your ice particles, right? Crowded air is saturated, surrounded by unsaturated air. Mixed air is unsaturated, so crowded particles evaporate. So saturated means you get these droplets that will form. So another concept to think about here. So think about the questions, you know, what's the difference between entrainment and extrainment? And then, you know, what's the definition of a cloud? You know, parts of air that's saturated. So think of them type of questions is the concept, the idea of these concepts. The effects of entrainment, mixing of cloudy air results in evaporation. So this cools the air. So remember where I said we had that air on the upper side and it descends? You have entrainment there that cools the air and the air will want to descend it. And that sinks because the density increases. And this can offset some of the crowd rise in motion. And if you got dry air that entrains into the crowd, you can get it into the crowd and eventually stop the updrafts. So these processes occur in the cloud. And it's kind of like we're just going over the definitions of what these concepts and processes mean. Another one is precipitation loading that will cause some dynamic effects. So the condensate, this is the water ice in the updraft. They're pulled down by gravity a lot more than the air molecules. Since these particles have drag as they grow, you know, particles have increased drag as they grow, so more precipitation loaded. So if you look at all the particles and the drag in all these, that's what the precipitation load on the updraft would be. And of course, if you have a downdraft, that would be the opposite. So downdrafts are where you have downward air moving through some subsaturated air, and it evaporates as it, more evaporation, cooling occurs. So this cooling causes more acceleration. And then they can spread out horizontally. So you can have this air descending and spreading. And then as it nears the ground, so a lot of times the immediate edge of this spreading air is called a gust front. So the winds are high there, it's moving across. And ahead of this gust front, you can have lift in air, which can cause new clouds. So you see this a lot of times. I've seen this where we see it on one storm. It creates a nice big updraft, nice cloud system. Then you have the downdraft, and you get this gust front that, like a spherical ring around the cloud. And you can get another system that will form on where this gust front occurs. So sometimes you can go and do some operational cloud seeding along the gust fronts to invigorate that. So a lot of concepts here for the dynamics. Basically, you have you know, thermals rising, right? And then what causes that sinking air up there? What happens? What's the detrainment of the air, mixing, cooling a little bit, get some of that moving down. And if it goes down a lot, you know, it hits the ground eventually because it gets more and more evaporation. And then you can have this hit the ground and cause these outflow or gust fronts that come out from the storm. So it's the dynamics of this simple crowd model that you should have in your idea. And we'll talk more about some of the stability effects and latent heat that could cause buoyancy, entrainment, detrainment, mixing, and precipitation load. It's kind of the sum of all the particles that weighs that parcel. And then drone draft effects. So I challenge you to go, and I got in this place here, since you all got UND email accounts. This is meteorological educational place. And you can click on this link or just Google it. And I think you can create an account there. So I haven't done it yet, but I think for Thursday's assignment, I'll have you go through. They got nice little tests and stuff about stability and stuff. So maybe you can start looking at that, seeing what kind of nice graphics they have about buoyancy, and then we'll talk about CAPE, which is convective and variable potential energy, in the coming lectures. So I think you could, this is what a quiz I think I'm going to have you do for Thursday's assignment. And just do it, go through it, read about it, but you can create the accounts and stuff now to do that. And show you, since I got a few minutes, a copy. Let's see how I can do this on. Yeah, so if you go here, it says Comet.edu, and I'm not sure if I'm going to remember my email account. I get my password wrong. Oh, I got into something. So if you don't have an account, you can create it there and go through that. So we'll do that. And there's a quiz on here that has it once you go through the material. So it has different modules. So if you can go through this module, and since you won't do it, unless I'm making an assignment, I'll write up with an assignment so we can grade your progress on here, but you can start now. And then you can ask me some questions if you want. So that's all I have for today.
So when you say Thursday's assignment, you mean it's due Thursday?
No, I'll give you a Thursday for the
fall. Okay.
So I haven't done it yet, but so you have an assignment due today, which is the 10 questions, and don't worry about the one that has two answers. I'll make both A and B be right. And then you have another assignment for Thursday, which is to make up some questions. And then we'll have another assignment I give out on Thursday. I just haven't written it yet, so I haven't had that for you. And then next week's spring break, right? So we'll have this, so we'll have to have that due after spring break, but you can have a week after spring break. So should have some time to get it done when you come back. And then for the people that want to attempt to do a takeover of the exam, you can see me after class here. We can go and get that set up. But so I'll let you guys go, and we'll talk about stability and stuff next time. Thank you.